Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And today's episode, we are excited to announce to you that you are going to be listening to the audio file of the second half of part one of our series covering Satanism, pornography, and sex trafficking. And the second half of this is, of part one, our first video in the series titled Satan Sex Scheme. You can actually go back and listen to not only this entire version from yesterday's episode, but you can go back to our YouTube channel to watch this in video form in its entirety, as well as episode two, Playboy Satanic Link, and this Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the premiere of part three, How Porn is the New Norm. And make sure you subscribe to the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel so you'll be ready when part four comes out, from porn to sex trafficking. And you can watch all those on video, but also you'll be listening here
to the
audio version
of Satan's Sex Scheme. The father of the sexual revolution who changed
American
law and laid the foundation for sex education had such associations. If America continues to be influenced by Kinsey, what will it mean for her future? What Kinsey discovered at Crowley's mysterious abbey might provide a clue. Pomeroy writes that Crowley's curious magnetism drew people from all over the world who came and became his sexual slaves. Some of these women left their husbands to enter the temple. They held group orgies as part of their ritual and included in them the small children the women had brought. He further reveals that inside the abbey, Kinsey found paintings, life-sized representations of sexual activity, including children. Some have considered the possibility that Aleister Crowley was another of Kinsey's pedophiles who kept his diaries as part of Kinsey's sex research.
I would be surprised if Kinsey was not, in fact, either paying or communicating with Crowley regarding his sex diaries, because Crowley was more open and more public with his sexual exploits than pretty much anybody of the time. He was known as the wickedest man on the earth long before Kinsey would have gone to him. He was far more accessible than, say, a Nazi officer in Germany to Kinsey, and as ugly as Crowley was to so many people, he wasn't nearly as known, or there wasn't the reputation that there was with the Nazis. And at the same time, Crowley could have used the money in the 1940s. He had, he wasn't as rich as he was. He had spent a lot of his money, so he would have been more open to that. And then to see that Kinsey was actually reading Crowley's stuff, we know that from Pomeroy. And it would be hard to believe that he wasn't already working with Crowley and encouraging Crowley to continue on with his sexual exploits. One way or another, the net effect is the same. Kinsey was fostering much of the same revolution that Crowley had begun over in England, and was helping continue what Crowley hoped would take place in the United States of America.
We can see that this is clearly a satanic link when we see Crowley to Kinsey. And it's mind-boggling when we realize how sinister Crowley really was. And we realize that with Kinsey, he was used in the same way that Satan was using Crowley to be his puppeteer. And yeah. used in a radically satanic way for Satan to weaponize sexuality in a way that is nowhere found in Scripture, obviously, but now was using it to confine and enslave people to their own lusts. And so I want to take a step back, because maybe you guys aren't as aware of who Aleister Crowley is. And so since we have Pastor Joe here to talk about Aleister Crowley, let's ask him. First of all, who was Aleister Crowley, and how was he using Kinsey in this manner?
Well, he was a Satanist organizer. So when you look at the spiritual aspect, we know that there is a revolution, spiritually speaking. It comes down to worldview and a jaded worldview that we aren't made in the image of God, that people are there to exploit. They have no real intrinsic objective value, transcendent value, because they've been created by a creator who will judge us, and they are a means to sexual gratification, personal gratification. People are just, we can be parasites and just use people. That's how many people view other people, unfortunately. That's how most people look at people today. At least they may not say it, they may not articulate it that way, but if they don't believe that we're created in God's image and that people have any value, it's very easy to exploit each other. And the Bible says Satan was a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer from the beginning. It says he's a father of lies. John 8:44, Jesus said that. He's a father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. And we see in a lot of those who follow him, whether knowingly or not, that they basically are of their father, as Jesus said, the devil. Now, it's interesting here because Crowley, not only did he push pedophilia, and we'll see that more and more as we develop this, and not only was Kinsey using Crowley stuff and many other Satanists, in fact, he's working with Kenneth Anger, who's a co-founder of Church of Satan, but Crowley was a Satanist organizer, and Crowley believed that he was the beast 666. He hoped that he himself would be the Antichrist. His objective was to overthrow Christianity. He claimed that we're coming into what he called the third eon, and the third eon was the age of Horus, the crowned and conquering child. Horus is depicted with the Egyptian, god Horus with the hawk's head. And Crowley said, with my hawk's head, I peck out the eyes of Jesus as he hangs upon the cross. And the idea was that the hawk would, subsume and overcome the age of Christianity. And the philosophy of do what thou wilt, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. Slogans that became very popular in the 1960s. Because Crowley's doctrines began to get really pushed in the 60s, really proliferated. Crowley claimed to have killed or sacrificed 150 children a year from 1912 to 1928. Now, he's probably exaggerating his claims, but we know there's a lot of people that died around him, and we know that he was having children molested in orgies and so forth, and we know he wrote a lot about satanic sacrifice, and a innocent male child was released the most power, he wrote in his book Magic and Theory and Practice during satanic sacrifice. He's a wicked man. He definitely encouraged the sacrifice of a lot of his followers. Many Crowleyites and self-styled Satanists that read Crowley have sacrificed people for Satan. That's indisputable. Crowley said the religion they call Christianity, the devil they honor, they call God, it is their God, speaking of Christianity, and the religion that I hate and will destroy. Now, it's interesting because Crowley talked about this new eon, and he says that this age of Antichrist or the beast will rule the world. And he says there is a magical operation of maximum importance, the initiation of a new eon. When it becomes necessary to utter a word, the whole planet must be bathed in blood before man is ready to accept the law of Thelema, that's the law of will or do what thou wilt. The great war must be fought. This bloody sacrifice is a critical point of the world ceremony of the proclamation of Horus, the crowned and conquering child, as Lord of the Aeon. Again, that's the third Aeon. In fact, it's interesting that you have Jay-Z, wearing do what thou wilt, and you have all kinds of heavy metalers and all kinds of, popular, I mean, we don't have time to get into it, but with our video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, we show one band after another from the 1960s onward promoting Crowley's teachings and the slogan, do what thou wilt, which, as I said, became in the 60s. It was modernized to do your own thing, and if it feels good, do it. Even Kanye West, he sings about the coming third eon.
Horus
hanging. I mean, it was like $300,000+ Horus head dangling from his neck when he's singing Power. He also, he sings about the coming of the third eon. Now, he claims now that he says that he's out of that. He claims, and, God will see. We're seeing where he's at right now. It's kind of interesting. But he mentioned that he was under, Lucifer was giving him music at the time. So you have these spiritual forces, a lot of these people don't even know about, that are pushing this coming satanic age, which is prophesied in the Bible. There will be a new world order where it says every nation, kindred, and tongue will worship the beast, and they will overcome, and the beast will overcome the saints. Of course, his reign is only 42 months long. The Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and he terminates his reign, and he sets up his kingdom, and Satan and the beast are the beast and the false prophet are thrown alive in the lake of fire, and so forth. But it's interesting because Timothy Leary talked about this Crowleyan revolution in the 60s when the whole sexual revolution really began to take off, not long after the Kinsey Syndrome or the Kinsey books had come out. And he says on PBS, I've been an admirer of Aleister Crowley. I think that I'm carrying on much of the work that he started over 100 years ago. And he goes on, and I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but he goes on to quote, do what thou wilt. And he says, this is basically the 60s. So these guys reckon, it's not like we're just, you know, conspiracy theorists. No, we're documenting what they themselves understood to be part of a satanic revolution. And Crowley said that the family is public enemy number one. It was about destroying the nuclear family. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. And it was about bringing chaos. It was about bringing people under the rule of Crowley. By the way, Crowley, free love, free sex, you know, hallucinogens, you know, yoga, Eastern meditation, all these things that are popular now were happening with him in the early 1900s, okay? All this whole revolution. But you know the people that knew him? Even people that read his works and consider themselves disciples of his works will admit that he was a super jerk. He treated people in an evil way, that people died all around him, that he was a tyrant. So the freedom he talked about was a huge lie. It was about following his dictates and following his desires and his fleshly desires. It's wickedness, and that's not true freedom, man. That's how Satan is. He rules over you, and he brings you into subjection. And Crowley said, let me seduce the boys of England. The end game for a lot of this movement is going after the children. I will fight openly for that which no living Englishman dare defend, even in secret, sodomy. Now that was a huge deal back then, and Crowley was breaking them in, right? So Crowley declared that his work was to be, quote, circulated among the young. That's who he was going after. There is hope if anywhere. Let me seduce the boys of England, and the oldsters may totter unconverted into their graves. Then these boys, becoming men, may bring about the new heaven and the new earth. He goes on to say, give me my army, young men, and we will sweep these dogs into the sea. And who did he turn to? He says, and he's an Englishman, he says, I turn to America, to a nebulous mass which I expect to develop into an organized galaxy. And he talks about the elements of the United States are heterogeneous in a manner unprecedented in history. Every race, language, and creed of Europe is represented there. All Americans are eager for power, one form or another. He says they will progress spiritually more swiftly and sanely than ever has ever been known. Well, in the 1960s, his books began to get republished. You know, the Beatles put Sgt. Pepper as the top right, one guy over, Aleister Crowley. They said they put their heroes up there. John Lennon, not long before he was killed by a Satanist who was prayed to Satan right before he killed Lennon and was a heavy worshiper practically of Lennon. You know, he went there and gunned him down, but it's interesting, right before that, Lennon did an interview with Playboy magazine and he said, the whole belief of philosophy is do what thou wilt. So he had major movers in the entertainment world pointing people to Crowley's work. You have all kinds of people knowing what's going on in the satanic world. Like, wow, they're looking at this. Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin, the other biggest band in the late 60s and the 70s. Pomeroy, okay? I think this is important. Pomeroy, who was one of the students that had sex with Kinsey and became his co-writer, he writes about how Kinsey went with the co-founder of the Church of Satan, Kenneth Anger, to Crowley's sex temple, the Abbey of Thelema there in Sicily, Italy, and how they took the whitewash that they procured Crowley's sex diaries, where he probably talks about a lot of the molestation he was doing, and Kinsey had actually, we know, he commissioned different people to do that. Whether he had a deal with Crowley or not, we don't know, but they said they procured his sex diary. And they took the whitewash that the Italian government had painted over the pictures that Crowley had up there, which was pornography, essentially. And this is what Pomeroy writes in Dr. Kinsey and the Institute Sex Institute. He writes this, the great beast and his followers were against any kind of religion in any form except their own. They held group orgies as part of their ritual and included in them, small children and women brought with them. Small children, small. The walls inside were still painted in British Oriental colors and they were covered with the most open, quote unquote, as Kinsey put it, sexual action pictures. So it's pornography. The remainder of the paintings were life-size representations of sexual activity, both homosexual and heterosexual, singly, doubly, and in groups, including children. He emphasizes children over and over again. Now, it's interesting here when we think of this is, what were they doing? They were using pornography, Crowley was, on his walls to normalize sexual perversion, which is exactly what the pornographic industry does and what makes sex trafficking so acceptable among people that would not only be repulsed by it, they're introduced through first, and we'll get into that later, through pornography and so forth. But so this is a multi, you know, billion dollar business right now. And it's very, very powerful. But people need to know that if you're getting into porn, you're getting into sexual deviancy, you're getting into what the Bible warns as being a satanic spirit, and you're getting into a you're being used by the spiritual demonic realm to be part of the problem. You need to repent, get on your face, cry out to God, say, have mercy on me, and ask God for the strength to walk with him and walk in righteousness and walk with clean hands and a clean heart.
Yeah, and you know, one of the guys that you had mentioned, and if you go back to that clip that we were playing earlier, you see in Thelema, you have Alfred Kinsey standing there. You have him looking at a picture of Aleister Crowley. Right next to him, to his right, is none other than, as you've already mentioned, Kenneth Anger.
And it's a stage photo, you could tell, the lighting and everything.
Oh yeah, it's totally a stage photo. In fact, like there's sleeves added to Mr. Crowley there. And when you think about Kenneth Anger, and you have your own personal story I'm gonna have you bring out as well, but he is a lurer. He lures young men as a homosexual, lures them to do wicked and evil things. And in fact, you know someone that he actually attempted to lure, I believe.
Oh yeah, a friend of mine who still works in the industry, and we've had some interesting chats. And if I mention some of the art he did in certain movies, everybody would know the movies right away. And he let me know that when he was young, his dad wanted to get him into doing art and makeup and so forth in this industry, which is a very sordid industry. And he had told me that when he saw some of my stuff, he goes, Joe, he goes, when I was young, very young, he goes, my dad took me to one of these music deals or these movie deals, like a little festival where you get to know people and so forth. And he said, a man approached me. And he said, this man started treating me really strange, took a real interest in me. And then he started asking me if I would go out with him to lunch. Not knowing my dad was there, and I'm a kid, I didn't know what in the world this guy's thinking. And then his dad came over and rescued him. And he said it was such a strange experience. And he said, my dad said, stay away from that guy. He's very, very strange. And his name, I found out, was Kenneth Anger. So, and by the way, another story, I was interviewing, and maybe we'll show part of this in the series, a Satanist at a satanic, well, I'll just call it a very occult, very perverse bookstore where they'd sell a ton of old movies and a lot of old rock documentaries that you couldn't really get your hands on back then. And when I was working on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, I was able to pick up some incredible footage there. But I noticed that the guy was very sordid, and he would have Charles Manson call from prison, and Charles Manson fans would come to his store to hear Charles Manson. He was a confessing Satanist. And we got him on film. We didn't put it in the Kinsey Syndrome because every other word was the F word, you know? But when I talked to him, I put our camera on. Chris was doing the camera, I was doing the interviewing. Boom, he sticks it on the a section where it's not illegal, but it was obviously for perverted pedophile type people because it had like children's type stuff, like Gerber baby commercials, Barney, things like that for just, and I said, why do you have this here? He goes, this isn't illegal. He got all defensive. I go, yeah, but why would people even want to get this, you know? And then we interviewed him on diverse things, and we brought up Kenneth Anger, and he mentioned, he knew Kenneth Anger, and I knew that from talking to him before. And he said, I just bailed out Kenneth Anger. You know, he just called me because he didn't have any money, and called me and got me out of bed or whatever. And he goes, and I forget exactly how he puts it, but he says, he was, he picked up a child prostitute, you know, and wanted me to bail him out, you know. And he just slams all this on film, you know. And we didn't put that in the Kinsey Syndrome. Maybe in this series we'll play some of that, but I'll have to be a lot of bleeping going on. But these guys are pedophiles, a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and the fact is that these guys have disciples, and you already mentioned Charles Manson, and so if you want a little bit of a connection there with Charles Manson, Kenneth Anger, and then you have Bu Soleil, who committed, I believe, the first murder of the Charles Manson murder
that we know about. He killed Hinman for Manson, the first murder of the Manson.
And he was Kenneth Anger's, as you saw in that clip, live-in boyfriend. Kenneth Anger also has...
played the music for the Lucifer Rising soundtrack originally.
Oh, yeah.
But then he wanted to use Jimmy Page, who was making it from Led Zeppelin originally, but then Bu Soleil ended up using his music.
And because of that connection with Bu Soleil, Manson, then you have Kenneth Anger... Kenneth Anger today has modern disciples that a lot of people may not know that he has, that are famous to a lot of people today. And in fact, if you go and you like Spider-Man, especially the original one, not original, but more modern Spider-Man, you have somebody that a lot of people is just a stoner, funny comedy guy. But one of the disciples of Kenneth Anger is none other than James Franco. And in this clip that you're going to see from a video that Pastor Joe did concerning Adam Levine, as well as James Franco, you're going to see just some of the wicked things that James Franco is into.
James Franco, made famous for his role as Harry Osborn in the Spider-Man trilogy, is seen here with the co-founder of the Church of Satan, Kenneth Anger. Spin Magazine reported on Franco's satanic wedding video where he used Crowleyan Satanist Kenneth Anger as an officiant in a satanic wedding in his remix of Love in the Old Days. In the video remix, Kenneth Anger is not only seen depicted as the satanic priest officiating the satanic wedding, but humans are reduced to a bunch of, well, you guessed it, animals, conveying the similar Darwinian satanic ideal in Levine's video Animals, wearing various animal masks. And the viewer is deluged with countless occult symbols, including a picture of sadist Aleister Crowley, who taught human sacrifice of, quote, a male child of perfect innocence and high intelligence is the most satisfactory and suitable victim, end quote. In yet another James Franco remix, the satanic wedding devolves into a bloody satanic orgy.
You know, with Franco, it's interesting that you see him as a disciple of Kenneth Anger, and you've already heard personal stories as well as you've seen with Boussole and these young men that he has been involved with, that the person who's been teaching him and a guy that he obviously, you know, adheres to some of the things that he's into, especially the Satanism there, that they like to lure people. And that's what Satan does. Satan lures. And that's exactly what James Franco himself has been called out for. In fact, when he was at the Golden Globes accepting an award, he was called out by multiple women who had worked with him. And this one specifically said this. Violette Palais, I believe, said, "Cute time's up pin, James Franco. Remember when you pushed my head down in a car towards your exposed penis? And that other time you told my friend to come to your hotel when she was 17 after you had already been caught doing that to a different 17-year-old? And there have been a number of young ladies who have shown these pictures of him attempting to lure them. So it makes no sense because he follows after his disciple because he likes Kenneth Anger. Kenneth Anger likes to lure people. So what is he going to do? But I guess you could say this is just an isolated incident. Not so fast. Actually, Kenneth Anger has other disciples. In fact, a lot of you people may have heard of Asia Argento, who was the life partner, I guess, of Anthony Bourdain. Yeah. And she also was involved with none other than Kenneth Anger because she was the co-director of a film called 42-1 Dream Rush. And yes, Asia Argento can be seen wearing the Lucifer Rising jacket, very clearly the same exact jacket. You can see her mocking Christ, dressing up with a crown of thorns. You can see her over and over again with pentagrams and sick, disgusting stuff on her Instagram. Over and over again, satanic, satanic, satanic. But what was she also caught up in? Jimmy Bennett, somebody that she had actually played the older character when he was a very young boy and kept a relationship with him over that time, eventually turning from having him as a little boy playing a character right next to him to eventually in bed with him in candid photos that were obtained by TMZ to the point where they found out that her and Anthony Bourdain actually paid him $380,000 of hush money to keep him quiet about the affair. In fact, this was seen as truthful that it actually took place by those involved in the Me Too movement because she was one of the original ladies and Rose McGowan kicked her out when these allegations came forward. And that's the fact. She does exactly as the person of Kenneth Anger. They continue in this because ultimately, while they may be discipled by one another, why Crowley may be connected to Kinsey, Kinsey may be connected to Anger as well, Anger connected to them, they are of their father, the devil. And so they are doing the works of Satan, and they are marching right lock and step as they lure. But don't think that is isolated simply to Kenneth Anger followers. Guys, the fact is Hollywood has a pedophile problem.
Absolutely.
Hollywood has a sex ring problem, and that's exactly what we want to expose because it's a culture that has started back from Satan ultimately, but also from Kinsey has gone forward. And if you actually go to the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel right now, make sure you're pressing subscribe if you can. And guys, check out our documentary, X-Men and the Gay Agenda, where Pastor Joe very, very clearly exposes Bryan Singer as pushing a gay agenda. Not only that, but luring young boys
going
as well.
After children, yeah. You know, we can you can go back and you can look at our video on Epstein that came out well before the whole Epstein thing exploded.
Yep.
You can look at our deal on Bryan Singer, producer of a lot of the X-Men movies, or director, I should say. And we exposed him long before he was radically exposed recently. Because, you know, God's warned us. He's put this on our hearts that this is going on. And now a lot of, you know, people have come to realize these guys are evil, but they don't realize how dark it really goes. And we're able to see what's going on because we see who they're affiliated with. We see their trajectory. And it's interesting because Bryan Singer, he was directing Bohemian Rhapsody just a few years ago. And he was canned by Fox. And he was canned because, well, they'll say it was because of his misbehavior on the set and everything else. But a couple days later, a guy comes forward who joined the chorus of other people that were saying he was molested as a boy by Bryan Singer. Bryan Singer would have pool parties in his big mansion and have his Hollywood friends over, and they'd bring boys, get them drunk, and some of these guys said that Bryan Singer would have sex with them, and apparently others as well. But by the way, after this, one young guy comes forward, Cesar Sanchez Guzman, USC, University of Southern California, with 4,000 people, faculty members and students, signed to have Bryan Singer's name struck from the program called Bryan Singer's Division of Cinema and Media Studies, which is a course people would take. So people finally, they'll step up, they'll wait quite a while. You know, USC probably should have done that a long time ago, but then it's like, then becomes with the faculty all the time, it's about unfortunately saving face, but I guess hope better late for some people than never, but actually when you're late, more people get hurt. So, but it's interesting, you know, Bryan Singer though, has a lot of, we show through the movies, we show through the Marvel X-Men movies where he's promoting a sexually deviant lifestyle and with the narratives and so forth. And we quote writers, we quote himself and so forth. In fact, later on, he came out with a movie, X-Men's Apocalypse. And Apocalypse has to do with like the apocalypse, the end of the world, but guess what? The one who plays God is the evil one, and because he wants to be worshipped, he wants people to serve the one creator as he's supposed to be, or as he's supposed to, I should say, depict, because he's obviously not the creator, but he's supposed to depict Yahweh or the one true God. It's interesting, in an interview with regard to this role, he states here, he sets out two things. He's really, really old. That's Singer talking about Apocalypse. And he has a God complex the size of the Garden of Eden. Notice the biblical imagery he uses. What is a God? Asks Singer. He goes on to say, why would someone create and rule over a race simply to be worshipped? And worship means to be served. Okay? If God created me, we created these computers, you know, and they serve us, right? God creates me and he doesn't make me just serve him, but guess what? I get to know him. I get to love him. I get to experience him. I get to have thousands of taste buds to enjoy his food that he makes, you know? I get to enjoy liquid. I get to enjoy a relationship with my wife, a relationship with my children, my brothers and sisters, my good friends in the Lord. Life is beautiful if you know the Lord, you know? He is good, but Singer makes him look evil, which it seems he says is what Apocalypse wants, and he's not happy when he wakes up to a time period that does not seem to give two figs about him. And now he's looking at like the end of the world, you know, and mirroring the book of Revelation when the world's turned against God. He goes on to say, it bears no respect to devotion to him. That the big giant ego of the old God, adds Singer, all that lacks symmetry, order, and devotion to him, it needs to be cold. It needs to be wiped away and rebuilt again. So what they're trying to do is they're really trying to wipe away the one true God and his moral standards and his moral law, which is to govern our hearts and lead us in the way of righteousness. Of course, we fall short of God's glory. None of us are close to perfect. And that's why we realize through breaking God's law and the teachings of God's law that we need grace. We need to be forgiven through the shed blood of Christ. That's why God became a man, died in our place, and rose again. So we could be forgiven through faith in him. And he could establish his righteous law, the New Testament law, the law of Christ in our hearts, and help us walk with him. But this is all basically just people are blinded to this reality. And they're taught to follow Satan, or the spirit of this age, which is Satan, or just self, which is Satan's religion.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-JC-TRUTH. 528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.